Hallelujah. I knew Les Howard when I was back there at that revival with Dallas Plemons. You ought to have the Holy Ghost. And I was a priest in the Mormon church. Just lost a little boy through SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. And I was broken. And I got invited to this Holy Ghost-filled meeting. I guess sometimes you don't receive everything from God unless you're to the level that you're able to receive. Amen. I was broken. And my religion really wasn't helping me. Amen. But I went to that service, and this old man got up and says, you ought to have the Holy Ghost. And I didn't even know such a thing, that there was receiving. I knew that there was confirmation to go to be a member of the church, but I didn't know there was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that funny? I grew up in the Word, but never understood it the way the Pentecostals understood it. But when I got the Word, rightly dividing the Word of truth, it worked for me. And I went up there to receive and got filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I didn't know anything about tongues, but 2 weeks later, I had the gift of tongues. And there was a Kansas City policeman there that got up and quoted the whole chapter, sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. So I've seen a lot of tremendous things happen. And that was my beginnings in Pentecost over at Souls Harbor. And this is where I met this guy over here. He was on fire for Jesus. And as you can see, he still is on fire for Jesus. Amen. And I remember seeing you, meeting you for, at a time or two. And I was on fire for Jesus then too. I got freed up from all that religion. I got the left full of fellowship from the Mormon church. I thought I lost ministry when actually I got into a place where I was more ministerial than anything. Just being a believer, baptizing the Holy Ghost will make you the strongest thing on earth. Isn't that right? Amen. When he said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. In my name. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that what the Holy Ghost was sent to be? Sent here to be. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm glad we're teaching it here at Spirit Life Worship Center. And that God is filling people with the Holy Ghost. Now, one of the things that God put into my heart to minister on today was out of 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, if you want to turn in your Bibles. I want to bring out some things because there's been a lot mentioned today about prayer and some of the things that we're doing now. We've opened up a new field of street ministry. And by the way, I just want to put this plug in for Les. He's going to be there at the sing-in, the 10th, and I've asked him to put on. He said it takes about 15 minutes, and I believe we got room for him, don't you? Amen. And we're going to let him minister to us and some of the things that he does. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm glad he said yes. Amen. So we're going to do that. Let's give the Lord a big hand clap for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, starting with the 3rd verse. Then we're going to go up to the 12th chapter. One of the things that Paul ministered to the Corinthian saints about spiritual warfare. How many know that we're in a war? Amen. But not a war with bombs and or coming over to your neighbors and shooting them with a shotgun. Of course, some people are doing that today. Boy, you ever notice how the shootings are increasing? You know, in the last days, the Bible does tell us that the earth will fill up with violence. But didn't it do that in Noah's day? Didn't it do it in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah? Yeah. And violence is all over the place, and it's increasing. And it's going to be more increasing even as the day approaches. Amen. And I believe that we're not too far off, if you know what I mean. Amen. Because these last days, you're going to see a lot of stuff that's going to make your hair stand up. But guess what? If you're on Jesus' side, you got more than enough reason to rejoice. Because you're on the winning side and being right standing with him. Hallelujah. You're fighting on the right side. Amen. Hallelujah. And I don't know if you know this, but we are having a blood moon today. There's three things that are going to take place. I don't know exactly. I tried to get it in order. One's a blood moon, and another is a lunar feast of Tap. Well, spiritually speaking, yeah. But there's three planets that are in alignment. That only happens once in, I think, 500 years. And I believe that that's a major indication that we're in the last times and Jesus is about ready to come forth. Maranatha. Hallelujah. So I suggest coming to church tonight. We have this Bible reading that we read. We got a full panel of tables and chairs all the way around. We're going through the New Testament. What book are we in, Gary? We're in the book of Acts. Whoa. Everybody say, whoa. Amen. God's still doing it today, isn't he? And I'm telling you, we're going to go out there. We're going to be there 11 minutes after 9. We're supposed to start at 9, isn't it? 8? Ooh. Ooh. Everybody say, ooh. We're going to see the Bud Moon. That's going to be neat. And you know what? You're never going to see this again for another 500 years if you're still around. I know I will be because I'll be with Jesus. Amen. And we'll be in the millennial reign. We'll be halfway through if he comes this year. Amen. Everybody say amen. Hallelujah. Y'all got 2 Corinthians chapter 10, third verse. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That was one of the biggest lessons I had to learn growing up in the Lord. And I'm still growing. But one of the tricks that the enemy's always tried to do with me is try to get into strife or come at people in the flesh. My family, people that just went out and hurt you, do things that hurt you. Anybody get hurt this week by somebody doing something on purpose to hurt you? It hurts you, but that doesn't mean you have the right to get in the flesh. We need to pray. Isn't that what Jesus said? We pray for our enemies. Do good unto those who spitefully use it. I found out that works. That's spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is getting in harmony with the Word of God to allow God's purpose to be born in it. Amen? And that takes spirituality. That takes growing up in the Lord. That takes laying down your own feelings and your own rights of what's right and what's wrong and submitting to the will of God in it. Can everybody say amen? So I want to bring this out. It says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, you can underline that because that was the hardest lesson I had to learn. I am not going to get even anymore because I know the one who gets even. Boy, and I'll tell you what, I just had a little bit of episode of that. Boy, God got even. I'm telling you right now. He knows how to get even, Stephen. Amen. But I had to be careful. I didn't sit there and gloat in it. See, there's a balance. Yeah, there is a balance. I don't wish anything bad on anybody. But at the same time, when God gets even, how many people here get gratitude in it? I get gratified because I know God is in it. Amen. You get a certain amount of gratification when God goes to fight in your battles. Amen. But that's the way it should be in every area of your life. If God's going to be the God of your life, then he needs to be God of your life. Isn't that right? And this is one of the most important areas in your life that we need to get a hold of as the body of Christ, especially in these last days. Can everybody say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Now, what Paul's talking about here, and I'm sure you agree with me, is how we're thinking about things. One of the things that I've learned in the kingdom of God, you got to think right. People have problems with their thinking. That's your soulish realm, your mind, your will, and your emotions, especially your emotions. I had to grow up in that too. Some of us have a lot of growing up in that because we can learn to be mature in our emotions. We can do God's will in it. Amen. And we can turn everything around, everything that the devil's trying to do, you can turn it around. Everybody say, turn it around. And I think this is one of the most important areas. When the scriptures say, my people perish for lack of knowledge, they perish for a lack of knowledge. One of the main reasons why we get overcome in some areas in our life is because our thinking's not right, or we either have an unrenewed mind, or we're thinking on the wrong stuff. How many knows you can think wrong? Do you know you can think wrong stuff when you believe different? Wow. There's a lot of self-discipline in this. You gotta stand and you gotta sit there and think a while. Amen? Because the number one area the devil's gonna come against you in is your thinking. Amen. And that's the area where you gotta draw the line where the battle line is. Because I'm gonna end up in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, whether I make it here today or make it there next Sunday. Because there's a conclusion that Paul came to as he revelated in his ministry. There were certain limitations that he was involved in because he just simply didn't know the difference. But when he began to find out who he was in Christ Jesus, he had more success in the ministry by the power of the Holy Ghost as he revelated in his ministry. Amen? Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. See, that's what it's all about. Everything that we have to do, say, feel, or hear, we have to direct our thoughts to whether it's right from God or not. It is important. Everybody say it is important. I want to bring out a thing that is highly controversial still in the body of Christ. And many people, many groups are opinionated about it. But I want to show you something God showed me in the Word. It's in the 12th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. We just turned the page over here a little bit. And there was something that Paul went through earlier in his ministry, and he began to revelate. Because I can show you in Scripture that Paul grew in his ministry. How many know that Paul went through a lot? And how many knows that God delivered him out of all of it until God was done with him? But I learned some things in that growing because he put it in Scripture so we could understand what we need to do when we're in trouble. How many here get in trouble? If you didn't all raise your hands, you need to think about it. Because I've learned how to keep the devil out of my life and keep the trouble from coming. Because it seemed like when I first got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, I was in trouble all the time. Even though God broke things out of my life, I had to learn some things since I became a Christian to learn what to do and what not to do. Amen? And I don't know if you want to face this or not, but you have to really face it. Some people walk around as Christians in denial and act like it don't even exist. You think it's just going to go away. It don't go away. And quicker, when we get quicker to understand what God's doing in our lives and understand how to identify it with the Word, the stronger we're going to become and the more of God is going to be released in our life. Hallelujah. The 12th chapter, I want to read from the 7th verse. We're going to bring that right in line with the first scripture I read. It says this, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation." See, Paul had a lot of revelation. How many here get a lot of revelation in your life? Let me ask you this. Since you got saved, have you had revelations come to you? Oh, yeah. Did the enemy ever fight you against it? Boy, when I found out I didn't have to be poor no more, woo, you talk about a tax on my finances. Oh, my goodness. Anybody ever had the tax on your finances? Even after you tithe? But you have to know what to do as spiritual warfare to keep everything you got and get back what he's stolen. The Bible says, let every man be a liar. Let God be the truth and every man a liar. And the Bible says also, let him who stole steal no more. And the only way we can have victory in our life is to know what we need to think and how to operate in it when we see the enemy coming against us. Amen? The number one area that he can come against us is through other people, our actions, the world system, and the money. If he can choke the chicken when it comes to finances and ministry, he can shut a lot of them down. And I know a lot of ministries have been shut down. Well, that's a story in itself. Amen. And it says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Now, I'm going to bring this out to you right now because I'm going to tell you right now, God didn't put that thorn in his flesh. God didn't put that thorn in his flesh so he'd stay humble. Paul was talking about, because he had a lot of understanding of the Word, there was a thorn, a special demon that worked against him to keep from the revelations to come to pass in his life. If you understand that, you'll find out why your battles seem to increase while you're learning the Word and you're beginning to act on your Word. One of the things that the enemy does while you're young in the Lord is to try to shut you down now while he's ahead. He really isn't ahead, but you don't really fully know who you are in Christ Jesus and what you can do to him. I mean, the Scriptures tells us that we have already overcome the world. And when we identify our authority in the earth, now I can't go into all these different scriptures. I could stay here for days and talk about what it says in the Word and who we are in Christ Jesus to know for sure that you are in authority when it comes to Satan and God. God has completely given you the authority to overcome in every area of your life. And if you begin to understand it through the Word, you will have victory in every area of your life. And that's exactly what the devil came to do to stop Paul in the ministry that he had. Amen? Well, I'm not sure I believe that, Pastor. Well, pray about it and read it. But let me go on and what it says here. And he says, the messenger of Satan, underline there, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, let me tell you something. I'm going to come to you just in plain English vernacular. God wants you to be exalted above measure. God wants to glorify His glory in your life, not take the glory, but His glory operating in your life, that you bless everybody that's around you. How many here want to be a blessing to everybody you get around? One thing I've learned, when you become a blessing, they either hate you or they love you. You can sure find out who's on what side. That's what Jesus meant when he says, you don't know whose side you're on or what you're talking about. He said that to Peter. Because Jesus was sent to do the will of the Father. And I like the part when he said, I only see what I see the Father see. I only say what I say the Father says. I only think the way the Father thinks. That's why he was able to carry out everything that God called him to carry out. He never said anything outside of the will of God. That's what gave him complete victory. You never heard of him getting sick. It goes right back to the book of James. He that is able to bridle his tongue is able to bridle his whole body is the same as a perfect man. What was Jesus? A perfect man. He never spoke out of the will of God. He only said what he heard the Father say. That's a revelation in itself. And the only way you can think right and speak right is get into the Word and get abundance of revelation. Will devils fight you? Yes. But you know what? You have victory over them devils. You have the victory. You have the power to get those devils out of your life. And you have the ability to walk in everything God's revealed to you. The way the church gets the victory is the revelation of the Word. Boy, I get excited about this. And that's how Jesus told Peter how the church would grow. And I believe in these last days, Les Howard, that the church is going to rise up victorious. And it's going to strip him clean. And people are going to be drawn to the cross by the millions. It is harvest time. Amen. Hallelujah. Does anybody, somebody can go in my office and get a bottle of water? I was going to ask that earlier. Every time I get the anointing on me real strong, I get cottonmouth real bad. Amen. Because I'm telling you, God wants you to get a hold of this today. Because if you can get a hold of this, your problem is not God, it's the devil. Amen. And while you're having so many problems, it's because you need more victory in your life. And there's more submission that you need to do in order to have victory in your life. Amen. And I know I'm speaking to several of you. Because some of you really have had some broken things in your life. God wants to heal you. God wants you to come in line with what God's will is in your life and make some right choices so you can stop the devil in his tracks. I know that's right for you. Not that you've been bad. We've all been bad. But I want to get to this end here. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, that I should not be exalted above measure. You know what that measure was? No more than a mere man. You know how the devil comes and tries to make your life just worse than a normal person that don't serve God? Think about it. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, which means three times, that I might depart, that it might depart from me. And this is what Jesus said. This is what Jesus said. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Well, how do you do that, Pastor? You start rebuking the devil in Jesus' name. You start quoting the word like Jesus did when Satan came to tempt him after he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. You start standing up for what God has done in your life. Speak to the devil and tell him what Jesus told you and not believing what his lies are. I've had to speak to my bank account many times. My God meets my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I have abundance. I've said that when I didn't have abundance. I spoke the word over to that thing. That's the only thing that's overpower the enemy. You got to know who you are. Your thinking's got to be right. You got to be full of the word. You got to have the whole armor of God on you that you may withstand the wiles of the devil. Because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. And the things that the guys, the people had in the Old Testament looked into, we have in this day and this hour. And much more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And this is what happened. God told him, he says, my grace is sufficient to thee. What he was saying is, you get the devil off your back. I gave you, I sent the Holy Ghost. This man is receiving the word. God came. Jesus came. The Holy Ghost came. What are you going to do about it? Have you received the power since you've been saved? That's why I think that's why we have a lot of baptisms around here. I want that power, God. They rebaptized a bunch of John the Baptist groups because they didn't understand the new covenant. So they had to come under Peter, James, and John's ministry to receive the fullness. So they rebaptized them, laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. You're receiving today. God's going to move in your life in a brand new way. You're getting a revelation today. You'll never be the same. Things are going to change at home. Not that you haven't been changed, but they're going to start working for you. See, I can't help but preach this way because you know why? I was there. I got the revelation. This is how I came to a place. Do I have everything perfect in my life? No, I don't. But I can tell you one thing. I'm walking in more glory than I ever have. And the devil's just not having any old way with me. I've learned to shut my mouth, number one. Some of our biggest problems, just 1 inch below our nose. When you get, well, that's another thing. See, you can't overcome the enemy unless you have abundant of revelation. That's how Paul grew in ministry. He didn't know all about the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. He hasn't got there yet. So he got the revelation that he had the ability to get the devil off his back. Amen? You have to walk in the authority that God's called you to and place the word over what the enemy's trying to tell you. Well, you just preach too strong, Pastor. Well, you can go out there and waller in your muck if you want to. I'm going out into the deep. How about you? So this is what Paul learned. He said, more gladly. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. He goes, yay. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Amen. You're not being bad just because you got to a place where you're sad. God is about to get you into a place where you're more glad. Amen. He's getting you ready to increase. That devil's a liar. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities. Boy, you need to underline this because you've all been there a time or two. And when it comes to spiritual warfare, this is where you need to see that you're going to come out better than you was before you even went in there. Hallelujah. You're about to ready to take more position and possession of what God's given you already when you got saved. That's why David got what he got. He hung in there. Oh, you need to hear his testimony. I was there. Why do we have to go through this? That's the only way you're going to learn. Separates the children and to the adults. Amen. You got to be tough on your children. God's got to be tough on you. Amen. And if you decide you want to go to the cry room, go to the cry room. But don't bug me about it. You got such a thing. You got two groups of people in the church. Your Cains and your Abels. And that Cain spirit always attacks the Abels. I know you hear this a lot, but oh well. This is reality. Amen. Graduation day does come. Amen. And it's time you draw that line where you're going to go and allow God to move in it and take your place of victory by faith and get there. Paul told Timothy, it's a good fight. Fight the good fight of faith as soldiers. Why do you think he said as soldiers? Because you're going to go through some battles. But guess what? God's going to be there and you're going to win. That's a good fight when you win. Amen. God has placed higher ground in your path. And there's greater victories ahead of you. And the glory of God is going to rest upon you. And many people are going to be saved. Because you are persistent. And the glory of God is on you and the things that you're doing. God is pleased with that. And your persistence and your desire to press in and to push through, there's some doors being opening in your ministry. Let's give the Lord a big hand clap. Amen. Hallelujah. The prophetic does come through. How many have gotten a prophecy here that the Lord has literally fulfilled? We lean strong on the prophetic. Strong on getting a word from God. Hallelujah. I think that's where the church has kind of backed off because of fear. You know, well, maybe that wasn't from God. Well, so what? You got to hear some of the bad to hear some of the good. You're going to hear some of the good. You got to pick out the bad from the good. Amen. That's how you learn. Hallelujah. That's why I strongly advocate operating in the gifts of the Spirit. If God put a gift on you, use it. Amen. If you get a word from God, get up and speak it. I'm not going to throw you out just because I don't think it's from God. I'm going to love on you. See, now, I really do believe that gifts is in your life, but that particular time, I don't know if it was really from God. We'll test it and see if it is. We've had a few false prophecies in here, haven't we, Catherine or Carolyn? We sure have. But we're not here to embarrass people. We're not here to cast people out. We're not here to tear them down just because they might miss God. We show a little patience and love and kindness and let the gift be perfected in them. I don't know about you. My kid didn't just start out walking. It had to fall a couple times. And we got to be that way with people that miss the mark. They miss the mark. That doesn't mean they didn't have that happen inside of you. Think about what you did when you first got saved. Did you miss the mark a few times? Did you feel like you wanted to go back there? I did. I got so mad one time, I went and bought me a carton of cigarettes, sat there and smoked them all. Boy, did I feel stupid when I did that. I'm not saying it's wrong to smoke, but I was a little bit above that. I got out of that. How stupid was that? Anybody ever get mad and go get some booze? Okay. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Therefore, this my closing verse right here. I'm going to get into the. How many want to get into the book of Ephesians next week? I'm ready. Because we need to discover every area. All those areas that Paul advises us to do are necessary in your Christian walk. One of the basic motives of the church, the local church, or their goal is to develop maturity in the body of Christ. And then to show people to understand how reality meets the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how the gospel of Jesus Christ meets reality. And how we need to allow ourselves to be developed to the level that God wants to develop us. Because I'm going to tell you something. You may not be aware of this yet, but I think you are. You're going to go through it anyway. Whether you're a believer or a non-believer. But the Bible, my Bible says, happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Happy is he. The Bible says that the wicked are cut off without remedy. That used to be me, Les. I'm tired of being cut off. You tired of being cut off? I'm tired of it. I want to say no to the enemy and yes to God. And let God be God and every man a liar. I'm out to prove that the word is true. I've had people come around and come to me and say, well, you think that word is so much. I don't see it operating in your life. So what? Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions. In distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. You ever notice how God sometimes just shows up at the last minute? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's stand in the presence of God.